Hey, everybody. Saul Marquez with the Health Matters podcast. I want to welcome you back to another episode. And today we are here with Dr. Steve Hahn, Chief Executive Officer at Harbinger. He is the CEO, partner of Flagship Pioneering, and also Chief Executive Officer at Harbinger Health. Steve joined Flagship in June of 2021 as Chief Medical Officer of its Preemptive Health and Medicine Initiative, which is creating a new field that aims to protect, maintain, and improve people's health before they get sick. Such a pleasure to have you here, Steve, and excited to dig in.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Saul.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And look, before we dive into the work that you guys are doing at Harbinger, tell us a little bit more about what inspires your work.
One of the things and the reason that I joined Flagship Pioneering after I was at the FDA was because of the fact that we have major problems across the globe in terms of chronic disease. And Flagship was committed, and Harbinger is one of those companies, to finding disease early, before people have symptoms, before it becomes a problem, before you can't take care of it. And so to me, that was so impactful, and I was looking for something significantly impactful to work on. The other thing that's really important to me is the access issue. If we didn't learn from COVID that we have issues people accessing care, trust in the healthcare environment, trust in companies, trust in new therapies, vaccines, et cetera, then we're never going to learn the lesson. And to me, I wanted to work with a company, with a group that was really committed to making sure that this was the things that we're developing, the therapies, the diagnostics, et cetera, accessible to all.
That's great. Sounds like it's very much aligned to your personal mission and one that gives access and early detection to all. Detecting cancer early using a blood test sounds like a really good idea. What are some of the challenges today that make that harder to do than it sounds? And what are some of the possibilities you see if we can find ways to do it better?
Yeah, you bet. And I'm going to use cancer as the example, but this could be for Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, a lot of diseases. But Harbinger Health is focused on cancer. And so the first big problem with cancer screening is identifying early stage cancer. I was a lung cancer doctor. We did pretty well at identifying stage 3 and 4, so advanced stage cancers, where it's difficult to treat and where also it's more toxic for patients. What we need to do is diagnose patients earlier. So one of the big things we're focused on is how do our biological markers, the blood tests we're drawing, how does that allow us to identify people with early stage disease? So important, so impactful for folks, because at the end of the day, that's how you're gonna cure more people with cancer. The second big thing is what I'm referred to as clinical informativeness. You go to the doctor, you get a blood test, you want your doctor to know what to do with that blood test, right? It does not help you get a blood test and the doctor says, what do I do now? And one of the problems in this sphere of blood-based cancer screening is, in fact, now what do I do with the information? Part of that is this a cancer that needs to be treated or should be watched? Because that's true in cancer and would be true of other diseases. But the other big one, is there actually a cancer present when the blood test says, I'm worried that there might be a cancer present? We refer to that as positive predictive value. It's a little technical, but the point is, you want your doctor to say, if that's a yes test, it's pretty much real that it's a yes, and now I can do some scans and a biopsy. If that's low, you're sending a lot of people for scans, et cetera, that don't need them. And then the last part is the whole access issue. And what's really important about the access is so many people have fallen behind in cancer screening. So many people aren't getting their mammograms, CT scans, blood tests, pap smears, et cetera. The standard of care screening that saves lives, we know it does. And how can we make sure that what we're developing is inexpensive and accessible in a decentralized way, and something that people are going to trust? All of those things go into access and they're top of mind for Harbinger Health.
That's fantastic. Really a great summary there, Steve. And it's about access. It's about being able to trust the test. So getting rid of those false positives and then ultimately making it easy for everybody. Making it easy.
We all go to the doctor. You might not, but a lot of us go to the
at least once a year.
And we get, some of us will get routine blood work, right? Yeah. Cholesterol screening, et cetera. Yeah. That's a really good thing, because if you identify it early, you can treat it and it prevents heart disease. We want that same thing to be for cancer. Regular blood tests, inexpensive. Heck, have someone go to your home and draw your blood as opposed to come into the doctor. Really make access pretty easy.
And making it possibly even part of a normal panel.
Exactly, like a cholesterol, kidney function, et cetera. It's exactly our vision for the future. That's where cancer screening has to go. And by the way, if you could do that and really make it a decentralized test, you could go to parts in the world where there's even less care than some of the places in the United States, such as rural America. You could really make this a decentralized point of care approach. Now, that's 10 years from now, but that's where we're heading.
I love that. It's promising and really great to know that the future possibilities with what you guys are doing are so well aligned to a better and healthier future for a lot of Americans. How does Harbinger's technology work? How might a patient or a physician interact with the Harbinger blood test when you roll out your first product?
Yeah, for sure. The basis of our blood test, we draw blood from a person, and what we're looking for is a specific signature in a person's DNA. So we're looking for circulating tumor DNA. We know that cancers, when they're present, shed DNA into the blood. We're looking for that. That's the genetic material of the tumor. And then we're looking for a specific signature. This brings together, that's why I'm so excited about it, brings so many things together that we've known about cancer for years, and we know where to look. It makes it easy because that circulating tumor DNA in the blood is like a needle in a haystack. But we have technological approaches using machine learning and AI, but also laboratory approaches that allow us to get some of that hay out of the way so that we can find the needle in the haystack. So what we would envision is an inexpensive, almost point-of-care test, just like a cholesterol screening, get it as part of your yearly exam, that would allow us to detect potentially the presence of 10, 20, 30 cancers. And then at that point, allow the doctor to have information that directs them. What should they do next? Now, we have a multi-tier approach, and it's very common in medicine. Think of mammogram. A woman goes in for a mammogram. She gets a screening mammogram. We don't tell her she has breast cancer. We tell her we see something abnormal, but it might not be a cancer. Come back and get an ultrasound, another x-ray, et cetera. And then only then do we tell her that she might need a biopsy. Same thing's gonna happen with our test. Initial inexpensive screening. If it's negative, go home, come back next year. If it's not, come back and get a second test. We wanna verify that there might be a problem here. If there is, we can then tell the doctor, this is what you do next. And that gives a great deal of comfort, we think, to providers and to patients that we're on the right track. And it also addresses this issue of positive predictive value, because we want our yes to be a real yes.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for that, Steve. And really taking a look at cancer screening tools so far, they've been fairly limited in their use. How is Harbinger tackling the problem of access? Why is that important to you?
So there's two issues there. One is there's only 5 cancers in the United States, and there's less across the world that actually have standard of care screening. Colonoscopy for colon cancer would be one of them. It's limited in terms of the number of cancers where there actually is a proven test that improves survival for cancers, improves outcome for patients. So that's one issue. And that's where the multi-cancer blood test helps, because if indeed we can show through clinical studies that it does benefit patients, people, then there's a broader number of cancers that we can potentially attack and screen early. The other part of access is, do you want to come in for your mammogram, CT scan, or colonoscopy? And we see uptake of colonoscopy around the United States pretty low. It's in the 30% range of people who are eligible for it. That's a problem. And how easy is it for someone to get a screening blood test? We're all pretty much going to get our cholesterol. Some of us are getting hemoglobin A1C to look for diabetes. That's happening across the country, even in rural and underserved communities, that's happening. Our vision is one way to get to folks, make it inexpensive, make it easy, make it so that their doctors can easily order that test, can get done around the corner, and then have those results relatively quickly available to the physician to make some decision making.
Yeah, Steve, and you think about cost in the system. A lot of the runaway cost comes from these types of surprises that come too late. As payers consider this type of technology, I think when you look at the numbers, they probably make sense, or they should make sense economically.
They should make sense economically. And this is where, particularly in cancer, what's better for people and patients is better from a health economic point of view. If you think about cancer, if you get diagnosed with stage 3 and 4 cancers and there's late stage cancers, hard to cure those folks and a lot more expensive. In fact, if you look at breast cancer, it's about 6 times more expensive to treat someone with stage 3 and 4 disease than 1 and 2. Now, that's not the primary concern of a cancer doc. Cancer doc is, I want to get them treated early because I can cure them, right? But there is this alignment that you say. So let's screen people. Let's get the cancers identified at early stage. That'll save more lives, but it'll also save more money so that we can spend it on other innovations that help people with problems that need to be addressed.
That's really great, Steve. And there's got to be a crawl, walk, run to this, right? Maybe it's concierge medicine that you start with, or then you tackle Medicare Advantage. I think there's promise here.
There is definitely promise. I'm going to rebel a little bit, not because I don't concierge docs, but because it doesn't address the access issue. It's
That's why we're so focused on cost
of the test. Let's make it inexpensive enough that folks can pay out of pocket sometimes. But even let's talk about how we could work with a Medicaid and a Medicare, et cetera, to get this done in a way that's cost effective for them. Because at the end of the day, they want to save their covered lives, the people who are in their insurance, but they also don't want to break the bank. And that's where we've got a problem. And that's where I think the crawling and then the walking makes sense and then the running.
Steve, thanks for doubling down on that. It is clear that access is a primary part of the mission, and really grateful for you to highlight that here today. Look, for everybody listening, what would you give them as a call to action?
I think the call to action is to let's come together and build trust. It's the one thing that I'm the most worried about. The commercialization, the insurance coverage, all those things will come with time, as you say, crawl, walk, run. It'll happen. And I think I feel strongly that the data will be there to allow that to occur. It's going to happen too slowly because I'm an impatient cancer doc who wants to see his patients get treated earlier and better. But a prerequisite for all of this is building trust. One thing I learned when I was FDA commissioner during COVID is that we've lost a lot of trust. And not just over COVID, but over a lot of things. And those folks who have the least access and are the ones who don't have a regular doctor they go to or insurance, all the issues related to access, those are the folks who trust us the least. And what I would say is, let's start the conversation now. Before I'm asking you and saying, I'm selling you a test that I want you to come get every year, let's have a conversation now about why that's important and how you can help us achieve that dream. Because at the end of the day, I want to look across from the grandma in East Texas and say, I want your grandchild to have a test that keeps them from getting a cancer that can't be cured. That's what I want. I'm pretty sure that'll resonate no matter where you're from. That'll resonate with folks.
Love that, Steve. Thanks for closing out with that call to action for everybody. The future's bright with leaders like you at the helm on promising technologies like these. So really appreciate you spending time with us.
You bet, Saul. Thank you.